వందేహం శ్రీగరు శ్రీయుత కరకమలం శ్రీగరుం వైష్ణవం శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణార్ఘునాథాన్వితం తంస జీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణ భజన్ సహగణ లలిత శీర్షాకాంక్షితాంశ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీన బంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధా కాంత నమస్తుతే సప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగి రాగే వృందావనేశ్వరి విషభాను సుత దేవే ప్రణమాని హరిషే పంచకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్యేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసుదేవ గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే
Actually, I'm not qualified to speak, but I've been requested by devotees to say something. This chapter is actually quite technical, you know. That's why we need devotees association. And Vaishnavas who have read the Bhagavatam and assimilated the meaning of the words, and so we should take shelter of the Guru and the books, of course, and all by the Vaishnavas. And the whole purpose of Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita class is to discuss. Not that I say something and everybody just, you know, listen to it. There should be some kind of discussion in the sense that when we are saying, we should try to understand what the speaker is trying to say, and then apply it within our own lives. And if, of course, if there's some doubt or some questions and all that, you can raise it to the speaker. So in this way, it's, we called it discussion of the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So we should progress that way. Otherwise, we are always, you know, staying in the same lower platform. We should try to improve ourselves from the Kanishtha platform, if we are in the Kanishtha platform, to come up to the Madhyam at least. So that the reason is because then we can mold our lives. It's important that we mold our lives to become Krishna conscious. It's important that because Maya is so strong. Maya is extremely, extremely tricky. She makes us forget things. Sometimes we are also in Krishna conscious and we are reading and chanting and we are having association, and yet Maya can come inside and cause illusion. Sometimes we are going out and say, oh, this is a very nice car, you know, it's a beautiful car. This is an illusion that Maya creates for us, for that moment, when you go and you go and buy the car. After some time, Maya takes off the illusion. Then you become and say, yeah, why? I've been driving this car for such some time, you know, now I don't feel like it. Then I'm attracted to another car. similarly, the illusion is like that. We are attracted to some male, attracted to female, female attracted to male. Initially the attraction is there, very very strong. So we are attracted, we go there, we take, then we marry. After marriage, then the illusion is taken away again. Then we say, oh, this is not so good. So like this, Maya is so very strong. She uses the illusion to cover our intelligence. The reason we become illusion is because we take birth in this material world because of the false ego. In the previous verse, I think, probably did you talk about the previous week? Last week, huh? Agopala, yeah, so. So it's like the false ego. False ego is, to define false ego, we all have ego. False ego means, I am the creator. I am the enjoyer. So that is false ego. I am the doer. That is false ego. So the moment we say we are the creator or the enjoyer, we come to this material world. But Krishna is kind. He wants to make sure that we go back. So he said, so how can we enjoy when the enjoyer, the Purusha, is Krishna? In the spiritual world, it's not possible. It's not possible. There's only one enjoyer. The male is Lord Krishna. All other living entities in the spiritual world is the living entities are being enjoyed. So we cannot take it. Why Krishna must enjoy? Why must he be the supreme? Why can't I enjoy? Why can't I do my own things? Then Krishna being kind, the kind father always, you know, says, okay, you know, my son is requesting something, is desiring something, so I'll get him that whatever he desires, so that he can enjoy it. And he can let him do the thing and see whether he likes it or not. You know, sometimes a son goes and smokes a cigarette, you know. There's one story, the son will smoke a cigarette, the father caught him. You know, why are you smoking? You like smoking? Okay. I'll put you in the shed, I'll give you the whole shed full of cigarettes. And you smoke all finished and you come out. You like, no? So he put inside. Whole day and night the boy was smoking a cigarette until he could not take it anymore. When he came out in the morning, he said he'll never touch the cigarette anymore. So Krishna is also being kind. He's telling us, okay, you want to enjoy, I'll let you enjoy. So that you can get fed up of this material world and tell Krishna, Krishna, I surrender to you now. I don't want to enjoy this material anymore. So in order to do that, how can we enjoy? We can't enjoy in the spiritual world. Okay? Spiritual world means we are all pure consciousness. So what does Krishna do? He creates this material world. So it's out of his kindness, on one corner of the spiritual, can you imagine? The whole spiritual world is so pure and nice and clean and everything. For our sake, one corner of the spiritual world, he makes it dark. And he makes it a material portion. He gives us one portion of it so that we can enjoy it. Look at the kindness of Krishna. Look amount of love he has for us. Who can say that, no? Krishna is so nice. He's okay, you are such a fool, no, but I still love you. I will create one portion of this material, spiritual world, and I'll give it to you so that you can enjoy. Because Why it became dark? Because we are in the ignorance. If you are in pure consciousness of Krishna, then you are in the light of Lord Krishna. But because we are not ignorant, that portion became dark. So that darkness is called a pradana, mahatattva. Mahatattva is the ingredients for us, for Krishna to create. Right? Here he says, you know, from the mahatattva of the previous verse, mahatattva, and from the mahatattva the false ego was created. In this mahatattva, all the ingredients are already there for creation. The mode of goodness, the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance. And then all the five sense objects, like here they say, the sky, the air, the water, the fire, the earth. And the five working senses, the five knowledge acquiring senses, the five objects, the sense organs. All these 24 elements are inside this mahatattva. Right? And this mahatattva, when the living entity enters into it, it's agitated. And then there's creation. Earth is formed. This Prabhupada is saying, mountains, trees, plants, reptiles, birds, everything starts to form. Everything. Modern man, scientists, they are saying this is formed from the primordial soup, something is coming by chance. From the soup you get one single-celled animal, you know, a single-celled organism, and after that many cells, and then animal, like this. This they are thinking of evolution. Prabhupada says the evolution here is already the animals, the parts of the trees and reptiles and snakes and aquatics, everything is already created. The evolution is the living entity going into the 8,400,000 species of life. Because why there's 8,400,000 species of life? Because we want to enjoy 8,400,000 ways to enjoy our senses. So Krishna has created 8,400,000 species of life for us to enjoy. You want to enjoy, no? So he gives you. You cannot complain. Go back to Krishna Loka and say, Krishna, I did not enjoy in this form of life. I did not become a pigeon to have sex every day. I did not become a tiger to eat meat. So, in Tamil they say, para irukka kudadu illa. There should not be one thing like that. Now, we cannot say there should be a fault in Krishna. So like that, you want to go back to Krishna? Krishna will make sure that you are gone through 8,400,000 species of life, finish off everything, enjoyment, all is done, go back to God. The problem comes here is because of the three modes of nature. The three modes of nature starts off with the goodness and passion. But as we become entangled within this material world, ignorance increases. Our forgetfulness of Krishna becomes more and more. Our attachment to this body becomes greater. We become very, very much attached. That's why I was saying about earlier, the illusion is created. You know? Every time you see something, there's some illusion created. So we become attached to that. So we must become trained in Krishna consciousness. So because then you'll be thinking, you know, I am already attached, how am I going to come out, you know? That's why Krishna is again is very kind. What did he do? He created all this, right? He came himself again. He came in the form of the Vedas. He came in the form of the Gurus, and he came in the form of avatars. So that we can take shelter of the Guru, the Vaishnavas, the avatars, the books, and we can understand who is God, how we can go back. We must come to that point, otherwise we don't come to that point of asking who am I. Brahma Jignasu, right? Ask, who am I? What am I? Why am I here? We must come to that point of asking this question. If you don't come to that point, you will never get out of this material world. Some people will say, yeah, so I like this material world. I am rich. I can buy anything I want. I can have one wife and many girlfriends. Nobody will know. But everybody will know eventually. And the worst is, you are the one suffering. Just because money, you can't buy everything. People realize that. With money, you cannot buy everything. You have a lot of money, but still have a lot of other problems. Problems created by, you know, three kinds of things. Problems created by our mind and our body. Problems created by other living entities. Problems created by nature. So we are always suffering. Intelligent man will understand that we are suffering. The foolish man will say, I am not suffering. But we are always suffering. It's a hard struggle for existence. Who will say no? Is it easy to become rich? Is it easy to have a good life, good health, good wife, good house? Everything, you have to struggle for it. Not only struggle to get it, struggle to maintain it also. Not easy to do that. It's not possible. It's very difficult. Every day we are going to work. Why? Just to maintain ourselves, our body and soul. But Krishna is saying you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. If you realize that you are the spirit soul occupying this material body, realizing that, then you can spiritualize yourself and go back to Godhead. Krishna says here, Prabhupada says here in the word that all these things that is created, it comes from Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadi Radhe Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Of all the Ishvaras, the Param, the Supreme is Krishna. Of all the causes, He is the cause. Not the immediate cause is the Mahatattva, the false ego. But the ultimate cause is Krishna. Prabhupada says Mahavishnu. Who is Mahavishnu? He is one of the Purusha avatars of Krishna. So Krishna himself is so kind, you know. He every time I keep on saying this, Krishna is very kind. He cannot stop saying Krishna is kind. We are the unkind people. We are very unkind people, no? We don't reciprocate kindness. Can you imagine? If some people is kind to you, we automatically must be kind to them, no? But in our society today, if there is somebody open the door for you, you just walk through. Nobody holds the door open, and even if you walk through, you don't say thank you. Rushing into the train, rushing out of the train, everybody pushing. No, there's no kindness. You know? Even if there's an act of kindness, it's not reciprocated. Then after eventually, when the guy who's doing the kindness, he says, why should I be kind? So then, the kindness goes from the heart. So then, it hardens ourselves. Our heart is soft actually. But because we are influenced by all the other atheistic people, our heart becomes hardened. We mustn't allow that. We should take shelter. That's why we form the society, you know? Krishna conscious society. Every country there's one society. because it's natural for like-minded people to come together, so that we can get shelter and guidance from each other. It's very important that we do that. Because we, you see, even among our society, then you'll say, oh, this Prabhu is doing so nicely. I think I don't want like to be under him. Let me start my own self. Because of jealousy, enviousness. But of course, if the movement is growing so big, everybody says, Prabhu, I'll start here, I'll start there, I'll start there. That is different. Everybody is working together. Because we are working for Krishna. That's important, huh? We must always remember this. We are working for Krishna. Not that we are working for this person or that person. No. Why did we come together? We want to glorify Krishna. That is important. We want to glorify Krishna. And by glorifying Krishna, we spread the message of Krishna consciousness to everybody. So we must be very, very careful that this false ego, this illusion doesn't come. This mode of ignorance doesn't come into our heart again. Very careful. You must be super careful. 1 second, if you forget, zoom, Kali comes inside. Kali is the personification, you know, of all the bad qualities of Kali Yuga. Ignorance. He doesn't want you to remember Krishna. He wants you to stay in this material world. That is his job. That is a job. He is the servant of Maya. He wants you to stay here so that we can enjoy ourselves. So you can forget Krishna. It's very important. For him that is important. But for us, we must remember that Krishna is important. Why is Krishna important? Because he's the, we are all the Jivatma. He's the Paramatma. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Knowing Krishna, we only know that sometimes, you know, when you are in the lower standards of knowledge, like the jnanis and the yogis, their knowledge only comes up to the like the jnani sat. The yogis will just say chit. Eternal knowledge, that's all. But bhakta yoga, you get one more. Sat chit ananda. Bliss. This bliss of pure happiness is only found in Krishna and in the association of Krishna. It's not found anywhere else. Krishna only can give you this. Only by acting in cooperation with Krishna we can become blissful. Otherwise we cannot become blissful. Why we want to become blissful? It's nature. By nature, we have that bliss in us, but we don't know how to enjoy it. We are called tatashta, means marginal energy. Marginal energy, because like if you go to the beach, you understand, but as you go, before you enter the water is coming into the beach, no? It comes and goes and comes. The transition between the beach and the water is the marginal energy, the tatashta, that means the margin, the border, we are there. So the propensity to enjoy is always there, either on land or on water. So we want to go back to Krishna to enjoy perpetually, but we also have the tendency to enjoy the material world, Maya. So we are the tatashta. It's a Sanskrit word, means marginal. So we have the tendency, that's why that's how Prabhupada says, you fall down. You know, you fall down means you come into the association, influence of Maya. So we must be careful. How do I come out? I must hold the rope from Guru and Krishna. They will pull me back. That's why we must do that. And then we can enjoy forever in the association of all the other devotees who are already there in Krishna Loka. Can you imagine? All the other devotees are there waiting for us. We are sleeping here. There's one story in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. His name is Gopakumar. Yes. When he was in this material, finally, you know, he went back to God, Krishna. You know, when he woke up in Krishna Loka, he was on the lap of Krishna. And Krishna was saying, "Why you slept? Why did you sleep? I was so anxious that you slept and you forgot me. Now that you come back, I'm so happy. Actually, we are all sleeping. We are all in the spiritual world, but we are all sleeping and we are dreaming that we are here. We are all dreaming. This is the way Krishna has created this material world. We all actually linked to Krishna. We have forgotten Krishna, that's all. Now we have to wake up. Who's going to wake us up? The Vaishnavas. Guru is going to come and say, "Hey, Haribol, wake up, wake up." He'll kick you sometimes. Why? Because we are such foolish people, you know. Sometimes, you see your children sometimes, they'll sleep until 10, 12 o'clock. You won't wake them up, you say, "Ah, don't disturb me. I want to sleep, I want to enjoy." Because why? They think sleeping is enjoying. So we are doing the same thing. We are sleeping, we are enjoying. Krishna is trying his best. Wake up, Prabhu, wake up. We want to come back, you know, I want to enjoy with you. But we don't want. We say no, we reject. Give me a few more minutes. I want to sleep. Few more minutes. Hey, we all went through this. We all went through. We are still sleeping. Now we have an opportunity to understand Krishna. Even in this verse. Sound. Krishna says the eight energies are separated energies of his, right? He said that in Bhagavad Gita, right? He says all the eight energies. And this he says sound. What is the sound? If you look materially, this is what I'm saying, you are hearing. But in spiritual, sound we can relate to Krishna. The word Krishna is a sound vibration of the Lord Krishna. There's no difference. So when we say Krishna, we are actually associating with Krishna immediately. No doubt about that. We mustn't have any doubt. We must have full faith that when we say Krishna, we are actually associating with Him. And the second one is the touch. Also, energy of Krishna. There's no difference between touching a pure Vaishnava and touching the Krishna, or touching the deity form of Krishna. There's no difference. Then we can see there's shape. We can see the shape, the form of Krishna. Right? You can see, there's no doubt. You don't have to imagine how God looks like. God is there, He has already given you His form. And the smell, or the taste of prasadam, taste of the tulsi leaf offered to Krishna. There's no difference between the taste and Krishna Himself. And finally, the smell. You can smell the flowers offered to Krishna, the tulsi offered to Krishna. There's no difference. Remember this, huh? All the activities that we are doing, there's no difference. Because why? All these energies, all these sense objects are Krishna himself. We have no doubt. We should not have this doubt. If we have doubt, then we cannot become Krishna conscious. The reason is we are now Maya conscious. We want to become Krishna conscious. We want to become, want to know, remember rather, remember. Just like we are diseased, Prabhupada always say we are diseased. You have a liver disease, you taste sugar, you will taste bitter. You got hepatitis A, anybody got hepatitis A? Before, if you got hepatitis A, when you take sugar, you will taste very horrible, very bitter. But, if you keep on taking the cane sugar, you will cure the disease. And then the real taste will come. So similarly, we are chanting, sometimes it's bitter. So we are chanting, it says, Hare Krishna, I tell you, I got 16 rounds to do, look at that, I got this to do, I got that. That is bitterness. We are not having enjoyment of chanting. We are bitter, we don't like the taste. That is our problem. We don't like chanting. We are forced to chant by the Guru. That's why some people don't take Guru. I mean, so difficult. I must do this, I must do that, I must submit myself to this person. I don't want that. False ego again. False ego tells you, no, don't submit. Why? You're a bloody fool, no? You're a fool. Why you submit? Don't submit. But we have to submit. So just like if you are diseased, like Prabhupada says, in the mind, you have to submit to a psychiatrist. You have to go to the hospital. You have to take the medication. You have to take the therapy, the treatment that the doctor gives you. Even if you don't want, your friends and neighbors and relatives will put you inside. Because why? You are disturbance. You are a disturbance to the society, to the family. Just like you are a disturbance to Krishna, he put us in this material world. Cannot take it. So, in this psychiatric ward, we must take the medicine. Of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Don't worry, we are very bitter. But keep on chanting, then you become tasty. You have to do that. You keep on doing that. Once you get the taste, then you will tell other people. And that's called preaching. Because why? You have tasted something nice, you know, something sweet. Just like you go to a restaurant, you eat something, some dish is there. Oh, fantastic dish, I've eaten this. I've never eaten this dish before. What do you do? Straight away you go and tell your friends and family and say, Haribo, all go to this restaurant, very nice, order this one. It's a fact. We can always relate this to our own material life. It's a fact. So, when we get a chance to preach, we should preach. Because you must get the taste, of course. Right? You don't get the taste, you cannot use. People who don't get the taste, they will, after a while, they leave. They'll say, you know, this is nothing. This. Why? They're envious. Like I said earlier, they're envious of Krishna, they're envious of other people. They want to be the Lord and Master of all that they survey. They want to be the Lord. That's why they can't get a taste. Because they are not sincere. They never submit themselves. We have to be submissive. We have to. We have to take the kicks and the scolding and everything from our Guru. We have to pray to Krishna. that, please Krishna, you give me the intelligence so that I can remember you and your instructions and the Guru and the Vaishnava, so that I do not offend anybody. Because why? If you offend, you cannot go back. That's another thing in the spiritual life. If you offend, you cannot go back. Because why? The offensive mentality cannot stay in the spiritual world. Cannot. In the spiritual world, everybody is cooperating. Oh, Prabhu, you want to see Krishna? Let me help you to go and see Krishna. Prabhu, you want to tie flower for Krishna? Let me help you to. Not that they themselves say, oh, no, Prabhu. You tie the thing, I give to Krishna. No! That is the difference. Here, we all want to be in the front. We all say, yes, I am the big boss. That mentality, we should curtail, curb it. We must become very humble. Right? Very important. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if you are not humble, you cannot change. Trinadapi sumichena, right? Taravarapi sahishnuna. Amanena manadina kirtaniya sadahari. Kirtaniya sadahari is only possible when you are humble. If you are not humble, how do you want to chant? This is a point very important in Krishna conscious life, Prabhu. Mataji, very important. But we remind ourselves every day, I am just a useless living entity, struggling here, hoping that all the other Vaishnavas can help me come out and make me a devotee. Then you will make advancement, otherwise it's not possible. Try to make it such that we can all work together very cooperatively. I should help every Prabhu to become a Vaishnava. The other Prabhu also should help me. We should always have this mentality that we can help each other, gain from each other, very, very important. Then only we can become. We don't want to be left behind. If we do this at the time of death, again, Prabhupada says, the perfect yogi goes back to Godhead. Other yogis who are doing other things, they can go to different planets as they like. Bhishma did was a perfect yogi. He managed to control his life until Krishna came. Then at the auspicious time, he left, went back to Godhead. Even recently, Mahavishnu Swami also, if I heard it right from Devi Prabhu, Maharaj kept his life there, and at the right auspicious time, went back to God. That is called the perfect yogi. Prabhus and Matajis, are we ready? It's a question we must ask ourselves. Are we ready when the time comes? Because you are going to be alone. I cannot come next to you and say, yes Prabhu, hold my hand, we can go back to your goodness. It's not going to happen. At the time of death, you are alone. If you are chanting nicely, if your behavior, your guna, everything is perfectly situated, Guru and Krishna will come. They will take you back. There's no doubt about that. But we must be ready. Are we purified in our mind and body? Can we say that we are following instructions of the Guru and Krishna completely? Not that sometimes I follow, sometimes I don't follow. We have to make sure that we are following 10%. Right? Otherwise it's difficult. This is the point that Prabhupada is making in this purport. Yeah? It is very important that we understand this. Very, very important. Because at the end of the day, we can't have, no one can help you, you know, we can only help when we are alive. At the death date, you help yourself. But we can help you train yourself. You see, like Olympics, you know, is coming, right? I think soon, maybe a few more years, whatever. Okay, I think the latest one coming is the football, soccer, world soccer, right? In June. So like this, people are, what are they doing? The coach and the trainers, what they do? They train these people to run, to jump, to swim, and make them peak at the right time. And the Olympics, then they can win a gold medal. Because they train their whole life. Similarly, we can help you train, become very, very strong, everything. At the time of death, you are ready to go back. But if you slack in the training, when time of death comes, you are not ready to go back. You can't even start off the starting point. Go. The gun is, you know, the starter shoots the gun, bang! You're still at the starting point, blocks. You can't come out. Everybody else who has trained, cross the finishing line. Oh, you run, you got cramp. Cannot run, stop. Why? You are not fit. So similarly, you are not fit to go back to God. You have to be fit to go back to God. So we must be very careful that we don't offend anybody also. We have to be careful that we are following all the rules and regulations. If you are not, we have to approach other Vaishnavas and say, please, Prabhu, please, Mataji, please help me. I've got this problem. Of course, we don't, you know, openly say, you know, Prabhu, I've got this problem, please help me. No. Approach devotees whom you have confidence, whom you can reveal your mind. Then we can help. That's why it's not possible. Right? We shall stop here. I want to read from today's appearance of Ramanujacharya. So I would like to honor him, and we all let us all honor by reading and hearing about him. Alright? Just for a short few minutes. One of Yamunacharya's chief sannyasi disciples was Sri Shaila Purna. He had two sisters, the elder named Kantimati and the younger named Diptimati. Kantimati was married to a very pious Brahmana known as Pasuri Keshavacharya. Because of his expertise in the performance of all five kinds of fire sacrifice, he was also known as Sarvapratu. Years passed by and the couple lived happily in the village of Bhutapuri. But because they still had no children, Kesavacharya became disturbed at heart. He decided to perform a fire sacrifice to please the Lord and thus beg him for the gift of a son. For this purpose, he journeyed with his wife to the temple of Sri Parthasaradi on the shores of the ocean in what is now the city of Madras. There, they performed sacrifices together, begging the Lord to be merciful to them and grant them the benediction of a son. Certainly, Lord Vishnu was pleased by their prayers, for about 1 year later, Kantimati gave birth to a baby boy who bore all auspicious marks on his body. This was in the year AD 1017, and it was this child who grew up to be renowned all over the world as Sri Ramanujacharya, the great devotee of Lord Narayana. At about the same time, Kantimati's younger sister, Diptimati, also gave birth to a son. On hearing the news of the birth of his two nephews, Shaila Purna, the intimate disciple of Yamunacharya, came to visit them. He was astonished to see all the auspicious marks on the body of Kantimati's son, and he gave him the name Ramanuja, a name of Lakshmana, which means the younger brother of Rama. To Diptimati's son, he gave the name Govinda. As Ramanujan grew, the brilliance of his intellect soon became apparent. When he began to attend school, he could easily remember anything he was taught, even after hearing it only once. All the teachers in the school loved the boy, not only because he was a brilliant scholar, but also because of his gentle, courteous nature. Vaishnavas must be like that. At that time, there was a famous devotee of the Lord named Kanchipurna, who lived in the nearby city of Kanchipuram. He was a disciple of Ramanacharya, and although he was born in a Shudra family, his intense devotion to the Lord was so apparent that even strict Brahmanas would offer him all the respect. Every day he would travel from the city of Kanchi to the village of Poonamale to worship the deity there. As Bhutapuri was midway between the two places, he would daily pass by Ramanuja's house. One evening, as Ramanuja was returning home from school, he met Kanchipurna face to face and was immediately attracted by the demeanor of this holy man. With great humility, Ramanuja invited Kanchipurna to come to his house for a meal, and the great devotee readily agreed, being very much attracted to this gentle Brahmana boy. After his guest had finished his meal, Ramanuja began to massage his feet. At this, Kanchipurna protested, "I am nothing but a low-born Shudra and am thus your servant. It is not proper for a Brahmana like you to deal with me in such a way." Ramanuja replied, "If my position as a Brahmana prevents me from worshipping a great soul such as yourself, then I consider my birth to be the most inauspicious. Is it just the wearing of a cheap thread that makes one a Brahmana? Only that person who is fully devoted to Lord Vishnu is a real Brahmana, no one else." Kanchipurna was filled with wonder and delight to hear the boy's firm faith in devotional service. Long into the night, the two of them sat up discussing topics about the Lord and the ways of devotion. That night, Kanchipurna stayed at Ramanuja's house and proceeded on his way on his journey to the next morning. From that day forth, both of these great devotees were bound together by the love that each bore for the other. When Ramanuja was only 16 years old, his father, Asuri Kesavacharya, wanted to get him married. Accordingly, he selected a beautiful young girl to be his son's bride and made all the arrangements for the wedding celebration. The festivities lasted for an entire week, and all the poor people of the neighborhood were satisfied by the distribution of large amounts of prasadam. After the couple had been married for only 1 month, however, tragedy struck the family. Kesavacharya left this world. Kanchimati was afflicted with terrible grief, and for Ramanuja also it was a time of great sorrow. Now that Kesavacharya had left them, Bhutapuri was no longer a happy place for the family, and they decided to move to the city of Kanchi. Ramanuja went first to construct a residence for them, and when it was completed, they all moved there. At that time, a very learned scholar was living at Kanchi. His name was Yadava Prakasha, and the fame of scholarship had attracted a large group of disciples to him. Being desirous of understanding the Vedic literatures, Ramanuja also became his student, and his pleasant nature and quick intelligence soon endeared him to the great Pandit. However, this relationship did not last for very long. For despite his learning and knowledge of the scriptures, Yadava Prakasha was a firm adherent of the Mayavada philosophy of absolute oneness. He thought that the all-pervading Brahman was the absolute truth and that the personal God, Lord Vishnu, was illusory. Ramanuja was a pure devotee of the Lord, and so he was pained to hear the statements of Yadava Prakasha that denied the supremacy of his beloved Lord. Out of humility and respect for his guru, Ramanuja would not point out the defects in this impersonalist teaching, but the situation gradually became impossible to tolerate. We shall stop here and ask if there are any questions or comments that Prabhu and Mataji want to make. Prabhu.
Okay.
I understand Maharaj will be coming here for joining us for Kirtan.
Just this question though, as we were
reading, the first few lines speak about evolution and how like everything changes and it ends up in reading it as a material world. But even within this material world, in the present life, we see many changes that take place. And especially between one living entity, there are changes that take place. And sometimes when we relate to another living entity, we are not able to adapt to a change that takes place to another living entity. Let's say whether it is you or whether it is means of mentality. There is very differences even in each living entity. And within that lifetime itself, from one stage to another, they change. And according to that, sometimes the character, the mentality, the mood changes. So, how does one devotee, he stages himself and does not get affected by any change that takes place with people or devotees that he is dealing with? How does he not get affected by this thing?
The question is, how does a devotee doesn't change, doesn't get affected by other living entities change in character, other devotees change in character or mood? I think, like I said earlier, if you put Krishna in the center, everything else doesn't matter anymore. Because we are only working and living for Krishna, not other devotees' mood swings and problems and all. No. In fact, putting Krishna in the center, when the other devotee has a problem in his mood or his character, we should approach that devotee and say, Prabhu, how can I be of service to you? Right? To help that devotee to come out of the mood swing or the character change, we have to always keep Krishna in the heart. Keep him inside. It's easy to say. Unfortunately, it's easy to say. Keep Krishna in the heart. It's difficult. It takes time, it takes practice. So we always must remember Krishna through practice. Because that is must happen. That's why Prabhupada gave a very nice way of doing things. He formed a society, first of all. Secondly, he says, come together, come for mangularity, come chant the 16 rounds, follow the regulative principles. All this, you see, Prabhu, all devotees, there is variegatedness. Every devotee is different. All of us cannot be the same, otherwise we will become robots. All same program, you know. It's not possible. We are all different. But we are all same in serving Krishna. We are all same. We are all equal. We all want to do one thing, is to please Krishna. So if you all feel that one devotee's character has changed or his mood is swung to a different thing, that means that devotee is not holding Krishna in the center of his life. So we must help that devotee. We must. It's our duty. Prabhu, yes. Of course, not in front of everybody, the whole congregation. Prabhu, you have deviated. You have done this wrong. Bring the Prabhu, Mataji, you know, to a side, to a corner, to a secluded, you know, different place, and say, Prabhu, I've noticed certain things, you know. Maybe, you know, there's some problems in your life. Maybe you can like to share with us, you know. Then we can help. That is important, because Of course, you must be a devotee also. You must see Krishna in the center before you can recognize other people's character change, mood change. Because if we ourselves are not following anything, then we cannot detect other leaders. Then you see everybody is equal. Because everybody is the same. Right? That's important. We have to understand that Krishna is in the center. We also are following regulative principles and following everything nicely. And then we can recognize that somebody else is not following. Right? First us. Then you, if you see other people not doing, then you can approach. But of course, if you can't approach that directly, you can ask someone else who is closer to that person to approach. Yeah? Alright? Is that okay? Any other points or comments through this? If not, we shall adjourn the class here and have Kirtan. And then Prasaram distribution. Before there may be some announcements will be given, yeah? It's just before the Prasaram.
Thank you, Sadhu.
Thank you. Grantara Bhagavad Srimad Bhagavadam ki jai.